Well, it's time for the old chap. I might find it too difficult down there. You'll have to help me down the stairs. And if someone could get me a stool with a soft cushion, please, right now. That's great, isn't it? I'll see you later. I have to be kind of careful, though, because as he says, he controls that. So the next time I preach, it could go totally haywire if I'm not careful. So just take pity on the poor old guy. That'd be great. I want to think this morning of amazing love, because the whole idea of Easter was about that amazing love of God that sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that amazing love that caused him to raise from the dead. That's why Easter Sunday is so important, because lots of people know people who are dead, who stay dead. Nothing special about that. If Jesus had stayed dead, he would have been another very nice person who did what he could, very great, but just another one of many. But Jesus, we believe, has risen from the dead, seen at one time, it's recorded, by 500 people. And no one can doubt that. And these weren't strange apparitions. These were people who could touch him, watched Jesus eat fish. These were people who saw not an imagination, but a real person. So we want to think about that amazing love. Of course, there's lots of stories about amazing love. I want to introduce you to some people who know what amazing love here is. Here are Irina and Woodford McLennan. They got married in May of 1974. Yet it would be 11 years later before they got together. 11 years after their marriage before they were able to live together. The problem was, Irina was living and working in Moscow, and she met this gorgeous American young guy called Woodford, and they got married, and they celebrated this marriage. Yet a couple of months after they got married, his visa ran out, because he was American, and had to go back to America. For some reason, he was unable to renew his visa, and for some reason, Irina was unable to get permission to leave the country. So for 11 years, they didn't actually get to see each other, although they were married. A marriage of 11 years without seeing each other. When it was birthdays and Christmas and special time, they would do it via cards through the post. They would ring each other on the telephone, and they would do best they could. But they couldn't be together. They couldn't celebrate their first anniversary, in fact, their first 11 anniversaries. They couldn't even celebrate them together. They couldn't get together to tell each other how much they loved each other. They couldn't join together in any practical way. Over 11 years later, Irina was able to get a visa to move to America. And once again, they were reunited 11 years after their marriage. And all that time, they remained faithful to each other. They remembered their vows. They stayed together, although they couldn't get together. I think that's amazing love, to get through that sort of thing. But you see, amazing love, true love, isn't just about romance. It's not just about marriage and about people getting together in that way. Another story of amazing love are these two guys, and I'm going to look at my notes for words here, because this is based in Hebei in China, and there's a 16-year-old teenager named Lui Shixing. Now you know why I need my notes. And Lui is a guy at the front who's carrying his friend. You see, his friend, Lu Xu, was unable to walk very far due to a physical problem. And they didn't know that until one day his grandma was unable to pick him up from school. And there he was left unable. So Lu Xi, the bigger guy, he said, "Well, I will carry you home on my shoulder." And he did that. He carried it home on his shoulder. And he's been doing that ever since. That was 8 years ago. For 8 years, he has carried his friend wherever he needs to go, whether it be to go home or the bathroom or the shop or whatever he needs. He will carry him there on his shoulder, although he is actually shorter than his friend. He's shorter than the guy he's carrying. Yet he does it because of amazing love. Someone who shows that wonderful, amazing love, who wants to help his friend. I think that's a true story, isn't it, of amazing, wonderful love. This, you will know, some of you will know, the lady on the top left is a lady called Corrie ten Boom. The lady on the right is a sister and underneath of the family. And they knew something of amazing love. They were a Dutch family, watchmakers by trade and Christians. And during World War II, they were a Jewish family and they hid other Jewish people from the Nazis in their home. It was illegal, and if they got caught, they stood to lose their lives. It was a very dangerous thing to do. They were caught and they were sent to prison. The whole family, some died shortly after, but Corrie and her sister, Betsy, were sent to a women's labor camp in Germany. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult. There was illness. There was little food. It was uncomfortable. They're in dormitories with strange people. And yet they stood true to their faith. Their amazing love for Jesus was true because they did Bible studies there. They taught people about the Bible. They'd managed to smuggle one in. If they'd been found out, they'd been in terrible trouble, would have lost their life. But they kept going. Sadly, Betsy died at the age of 59 while still in that terrible place. But while she was alive, she said these words. She said, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. No pit that is so deep that God is not deeper still." And Josh, you will find, and I'm sure you've found already, there's no difficulties, there's no problem, there's no situation that is too difficult for God. And that's true for each one of us. There's never a pit that's so deep that God will not reach in there and help us and get us out of there. 14 days after the death of her sister, Corrie ten Boom was released. And she says this. She says that her release from that awful place was due to a clerical error. She should not have been released. And a week later, when she should still have been there, all the people remaining were put in the gas chamber. She was released and came out with this story of amazing love. And why did she have that amazing love? Because she knew a Jesus who had amazing love. She knew a Savior who had died for her. She believed that Jesus had died in her place. Amazing love indeed. And that's what Josh is going to be demonstrating in just a few moments. Nick has told us what baptism's all about, what it symbolizes. We know that now. But it's all about that amazing love. Josh has told us in his testimony about the amazing love that he felt from Jesus. And the Bible tells us of God's amazing love for each one of us. It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his son for you and for me. That truly is amazing love. It goes on because that amazing love of Jesus caused him to come to this earth. He was born because of that amazing love of God sent him from the splendor of heaven down to everyday earth, born in a manger amongst animals, amongst the dirt and grime of everyday stable life, not as a king in some palace. Amazing love drew him to the cross. We remembered on Friday through our March of Witness how Jesus died for each one of us, how Jesus paid the price, not for his sin. Jesus died and he was guilt-free. He died because he paid the price for our sin. He paid the price for the things we had done, although he had done no wrong. The story is told about an army situation where people were kept as prisoners of war in China. It doesn't matter where it was. And they had to go out and do some work. When they finished their work, they had to come back and leave all their shovels at the front and line up ready to be taken back to the prisoner of war camp. And they checked that the shovels were all there. One was missing. And so the commander said, "There is a missing shovel. Someone's stolen it. You've hidden it away to try and escape. Who is it? Own up. Come forward or I'll shoot people." No one came forward. He said, "I'll give you one more chance. Whoever has stolen this shovel, come forward. Man up. Tell us who it is." No one came forward. Last time, he said, eventually one person came forward and he was shot. The rest went back. When they got back, they counted the shovels again. There wasn't one missing. He'd simply miscounted. That person had gone out not because of what he had done, but to save others, just like Jesus did on that cross for you and me. Yet the story doesn't end there, because that amazing love caused him to rise from the dead. Without a risen Jesus, we wouldn't have the joy. We wouldn't have salvation. We wouldn't know him. He's risen indeed. He's risen from the dead. And so this week we've been remembering that. Last Sunday, we remembered how Jesus rode in on a donkey for people into Jerusalem, and people were celebrating and crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the name of the Lord." Throughout the week, we remember how Jesus was opposed by the Jewish authorities. On Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we took communion and remembered the agony that Jesus went through in the garden. "Take this cup from me." Then we had a great walk of witness. That's not this year, it's a previous one. There are a couple of people there you might recognize. And they had a walk of witness just Friday this time. Why? We did that to remember that Jesus died to take away our sin. And now we celebrate that glorious moment that he is risen. Amazing love. That amazing love of Jesus. That he did all of that for you. He did all of that for me. And we celebrate that this morning. Perhaps this morning that's all a bit odd. Perhaps to you it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Perhaps for you this morning you might say, "Well, that's okay. If you believe it, I'm glad for you." But it means nothing to you this morning. As you see Josh go through the waters of baptism, you might be touched by that. You might think to yourself, "I want to know that for myself." And if that's you and you want to come to give your life to Jesus, then come and see Nick or myself or one of the people playing in the band and just say to them, "I want what David talked about. I want to know Jesus." And they'll tell you how you can give your life to him.